Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
So it's not a sin in your church to have an abortion?
That's the kind of conversation we would have finding out your story, where you're from. God's the judge. People have to live to their own conviction.
The science is clear. The Bible is clear. And if we're honest, our intuitions are clear. We know what we're killing. We're killing a human being.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And let me say this especially to men. Hear me, heads of household. Do you disdain and despise and disrespect governmental authority and yet expect your wife and your children to submit to yours?
Brace yourself.
You hypocrite.
Dikes.
You pompous, self-centered hypocrite.
Yo, this is Wretched Radio. That was a thunderous kidney punch from the one, the only Dr. Vody Bachum here on Wretched Radio, preaching a sermon from, give or take, about a decade ago on a text that, in my opinion, is going to be the next evangelical divider. Don't we have plenty of those going on today? I would suggest to you, I'm no prophet, I'm not the son of a prophet, that the next skirmish that is going to separate evangelicals will have to do with this verse.
Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment.
Why do I think that is going to be the next contested verse that causes division in the evangelical church? Because last week, Jimmy brought up a subject that a lot of people are considering and perhaps participating in these days, and that is Let's Go Brandon. So, Jimmy, this is all on you, buddy.
Sorry.
Yeah. Let's Go Brandon. It's a euphemism for dropping the F-bomb on the President of the United States. I have to confess, I didn't think my response would elicit a whole lot of disapproval. But to my surprise, when I read the posts on Facebook, who still has us on lockdown, a lot of people did disagree. They said, oh, wait a second. You're misusing Romans 13. You spent a month, said one person, talking about Romans 13. Okay, maybe it felt like a month. I grant you that. But it was only a week we talked about the subject because I'm persuaded this is going to be a big deal. Dr. Vody Bachum, a decade ago, he presented Romans 13. Hoofda, it was an eyebrow scorcher for all of us because we have a tendency in especially the West, especially in the U.S., to be a people that looks for exceptions to the Romans 13 rule.
We want to hasten to the next part of the paragraph and talk about what authority is legitimate and what authority is illegitimate. We want to hasten to the point where we talk about how we rise up against authority, because we are, in effect, a very rebellious people, a notoriously rebellious people. And folks, we are the worst of the worst.
Remember, there's a difference between presuppositions and pre-understandings. Our presuppositions hold firm. We never waver on the essentials. The Bible's the inspired word of God, the Trinity, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, for the glory of God alone. We never rock or wobble from those. But when we approach a text, we must lose all of our pre-understandings. And this ain't no easy thing, especially if you grew up in an era where we used to teach nice things about the United States of America in school, that we stood up to put our hand on our heart to pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And we read about the founding fathers with awe, and not with criticism and condescension. I bring that to my understanding of the text. I want the text to reflect my understanding of living in a constitutional representative republic and not in a monarchy. Because I noticed some of the posts on Facebook and the emails sent to me, people said, hey, Friel, you don't understand. We don't have to honor the king because we don't have a king. We have a constitution. Therefore, the constitution is our authority. Now, do I feel the tug in that direction? Of course I do. Why? Because, well, I have a tendency to not always want to submit.
Our natural tendency will be to run headlong into the part of the text that has something to do with what the authorities are responsible for so that we can figure out when and where that natural tendency that we all have and love so much can be justified in its rebellion. To which I say today, not so fast.
Let me take you to Ephesians 6 for a moment, which is a related text to Romans 13. Why? Because it deals with the issue of submission. It talks about submission in the church. It talks about submission, husband and wife. It talks about fathers, mothers, and children. And it also talks about slave and master. That context can't be overlooked because Paul is making a point that the Christian life is about submission. And if we can find exceptions in Romans 13, we're going to find them in Ephesians 6. Let me do that for you. Romans 13 says, submit to the authority, and if you don't do it, you can plan on getting whacked because they don't bear the sword in vain. And so people would come up with different exceptions for what appears to be a rule. Let me do that to Ephesians 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first Bible verse you had your kids memorize, of course. It is good. It's the first commandment with promises, that it may be well with you, that you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, so they're connected, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. If I used a little bit of eisegesis in Romans 13 to say that there are times when we can disobey the authority or not honor the king, which we know there are exceptions, that if they command us to sin or if they forbid us from obeying a command, we disobey. I don't call that resistance. I call that obeying God before obeying man who is commanding me to do something sinful. But if I take that principle in Romans 13 to say, if the government fails in some way, shape, or form to meet an expectation of mine, then I can do that with Ephesians 6. Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. So to all children, I could say, you don't have to obey your father and mother if they're annoying you. If they're provoking you, I'll bet. Nope, you don't. This is the exception. And you would rightly say, hold it, Pally. That's not what the text says. And I would agree with you. The same thing with women submitting to husbands. Don't we preach about that without exceptions?
And so let's take the wife who looks at state authority and, you know, just says instantly when she looks at state authority, I want to know when it's no. Or the husband who looks at state authority and says, I want to know where the line is because I want to know when I can rebel. Does he have the same level of patience with his wife on her submission to him as he expects from God on his submission to the state? If you can't say amen, you ought to say ouch right here. Okay.
Get ready. It's going to get a lot ouchier.
Or how about to his children when it comes to their level of submission? And so if our children want to immediately run to, when can I say no? And wives and church members, and if they want to immediately run to when I can say no, we say, no. You have to understand these principles of submission. But when it comes to the state, our predisposition is not just start with when I can say no, but assume that that is actually the most godly posture that I can have. I hold on to my no until you prove that you're worthy of my yes. That's our attitude toward the state, folks. I hold on to my no until you prove you're worthy of my yes. I am in rebellion to you unless and until you show me that you agree with me and therefore I ought to walk with you. That is not the posture of the first two verses here in Romans chapter 13. Our posture is one of submission, recognizing that all authority comes from God, and recognizing that our submission to God always happens through human agency.
Brace yourself. If that wasn't challenging enough, Vody, never known for his subtlety.
It's humble. It's respectful. And it's obedient. That's our attitude toward authority. And let me say this especially to men. Hear me, heads of household. Do you disdain and despise and disrespect governmental authority and yet expect your wife and your children to submit to yours?
Hold on.
You hypocrite. You pompous, self-centered hypocrite. Fall on your face and repent before Almighty God and your wife and your children for having that kind of attitude toward the authority that God has placed in your life while expecting all of them to bow down and obey you without a word. Shame on you. Shame on me.
Let's see if we can figure out what Vody is trying to say next on Wretched Radio.
Hey, thank you for listening to Wretched Radio today. Have you been getting the monthly Wretched newsletters into your email? If you haven't, you should feel slighted and left out because you're really missing out. You're missing messages that are thorough and in-depth and cover a wide range of theological issues Christians are facing. You're missing updates on all the new things going on at Wretched. Updates on resource release dates, updates on upcoming sales in the Wretched store, and the most important update of all, Todd's haircut and beard trim schedule. And you're missing out on it all if you're not subscribed. But it's simple to rectify this huge mistake in your life. Just head over to wretched.org/newsletter and get all signed up. Oh, and I forgot to mention, as a subscriber to the Wretched Monthly Newsletter, you're eligible to win free stuff. We give resources away every day here at Wretched Radio to our newsletter subscribers. So don't miss the free stuff. wretched.org/newsletter. That's wretched.org/newsletter. Wretched. Amazing grace, amazing gospel.
You are a pro-life Christian, which is redundant, who happens to be frugal, which is unnecessary to point out because that's what we Christians are, frugal, and you would like to support a life ministry that stewards your money well. Some great news from Preborn Ministries. They have saved 169,000 babies' lives. What is their secret? Ultrasounds. 80% of the time a woman sees her baby, she chooses life. Right now, Preborn has a matching grant. $28 per ultrasound turns into two ultrasounds. Or for $140, you can sponsor five ultrasounds, but because of the match, you'll be saving 10 babies. The ideal time for you to support a life ministry who's going to steward your money well. To donate securely, dial #250 and say the keyword baby, #250, keyword baby, or visit preborn.org/wretched.
Well, are you ready for another road trip? Of course you are. Just grab your luggage and let's load up. Okay, not really. You don't need to bring anything but maybe a pen and notebook for our next Road Trip to Truth Season 2, because it's here and it's available now at roadtriptotruth.org. And I know you're asking, how are you guys able to improve on the first season? Well, we have all new experts and new lessons that powerfully counter all of the continuous assaults on Christianity. Those assaults unfortunately wind up sidelining many youth and adults, and so we're diving into topics like the gospel, environmentalism, abortion, pornography, agnosticism, 13 total lessons, as a matter of fact, with new experts like Pastor Milton Vincent, Dr. Greg Gifford, Dr. John Street, Scott Klusendorf, Jess Arns, and more. Road Trip to Truth Season 2. It's on sale right now. And don't forget about the study guide. It's available as well. RoadTripToTruth.org or wretched.org/roadtrip.
Important dates in Christian history. 1273. Thomas Aquinas completes work on Summa Theologica, the theological masterpiece of the Middle Ages. Aquinas synthesized faith and reason, incorporating Aristotelian philosophy into his work, and provided a theological framework for Catholic doctrine.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Don't go. Let's go. Brandon, this is Wretched Radio. Last week, Jimmy, reading an email asking about whether or not it is appropriate for the Christian to chant, "Let's go, Brandon." I did not expect the amount of disagreement that I received because I said, nope, we honor the king. We honor those in authority. We don't use language like that as Christians. And it appears to have reignited the Romans 13 debate, which I would suggest to you is currently kindling. It is just going to take a little bit of a bellows to provide enough oxygen to turn this into a four-alarm fire in evangelical circles. How do we treat Romans 13? There are those who say submit unless you're commanded to sin or forbidden from obeying a command. And there are others who would say, well, actually in Romans 13, there are exceptions. Dr. Alistair Begg would say, you might want to slow your roll.
Since government is God's design, we have to then accept that all government is God's government. Now, some of you are going to have to take a deep breath at that. All government is God's government. The institution of government everywhere at all time is under the sovereign plan and purpose of God. Now, to say that does not mean that government always does what is right, because it doesn't. And I don't want to digress either into the exception clause, where most of us want immediately to go because we are essentially disobedient people. So we're glad when we can find a loophole for not having to do what it says. So you're not the mother of Moses resisting the edict of Pharaoh. Nor are you Daniel in the prospect of a lion's den. Nor am I one of the apostles in light of the mandate that we should preach no more in the name of Jesus. There may be exceptions for us to find. But let's not go to the exceptions. Let's just acknowledge the fact that God institutes the government. That doesn't mean that government always does what is right. That's why verse 3 of Romans 13 is a general principle. It's not an infallible rule. When he says, for rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Well, you read that and you say, well, sometimes they are. Yes, that's right. So it's not an infallible rule. It is simply a principle that is generally the case.
And therefore, we recognize Paul inserted that little warning as just that, a warning. In those times when you have to obey God instead of Caesar, you need to be prepared to pay the price for it. We have to be careful that we don't find more exceptions in the text that aren't actually there.
The great privileges we enjoy as citizens of America have accompanying downsides to them. Because we've known such blessing and such freedom for so long, we've got no way of conceiving what it must be like to live in North Korea or to live in an entirely atheistic pagan environment. And to read this text and to do what it says. We want to massage it to fit our expectations. At least I do. Maybe you don't. Obedience is God's design. Because government is given to guide, it is given to defend, it is given to restrain. It was, said the Puritans, to maintain piety and justice and peace. And therefore, the Christian citizen is not supposed to be a grumbler. The Christian citizen is not to be a complainer. The Christian citizen, the citizen of the kingdom of Christ, is not to be the person who's leading the charge about the devolution of things and the destruction of things.
Or, dare I add, chanting, "Go, Brandon, go," or whatever it is.
The Christian citizen is not to regard government as a necessary evil. The Christian citizen, it seems to me, is to be exemplary in whatever environment in showing people what it means to actually live in obedience to this government as given by God.
To remind us, there is a positive to this imperative. There are greater things at stake than just living a hassle-free life. It is people seeing how we behave underneath an oppressive hand. In that, they might see that we are indeed a peculiar people and ask about the hope that lies within us.
So what then, in what manner is the obedience to be displayed? We could spend a long time. We won't. Let me just remind you of what our texts have shown us. Number one, that to be obedient to the command of God is to pray, First Timothy chapter 2, that we pray for all men, that we pray for the brotherhood, that we pray for the emperor, that we pray for the king, that we pray for the president, and so on. I fear that often in our public prayer, we as a team are guilty of neglect in this regard. It may be representative of what is true in our own private lives. Mm. We are to pray, we are to honor them, In other words, we don't run them down. We don't disregard them. We honor them. We honor them, why? Because they're intrinsically good? No, because they are the servants of God.
Because he is working out bigger plans.
Therefore, one must be in subjection. But I don't want to be in subjection. Of course you don't. Do your children want to be in subjection to you? No. Do you as a wife really want to submit to that character that you live with? No. Do you really want to do what your boss says tomorrow morning when he says, I want you to go here, go there, come back, run around three times, and then tell me how it went? No, I don't want to do that. Do you want to obey the government? No. Why? Because you see, we're rebellious. God's sovereignty, man's sinfulness.
We bend in that direction, and we have got to resist that temptation because Christians aren't rebels.
And if Christians are going to be good citizens, then they must uphold the institution of civil jurisdiction, recognizing that God established it for the well-being of human society. That society is to be ordered under God is perfectly clear, as he goes on to say in verse 14. He has established it so that people who do well should get applause and people who do badly should be punished. In other words, there exists in Scripture no place for anarchy. No place for anarchy. There is no place for a Christian anarchic movement. So it is imperative that those of us who know and love Christ and want to obey his word and follow after him will uphold the structure of civil government. Now notice what I'm about to say, even though it might not institute Christian values. It's very important. There is a prevailing notion around today that we are only called upon to uphold civil government as long as it does what we like as Christians. God says no. You are to uphold civil government because I instituted it for the well-being of society, even given the fact that it does not institute Christian values. Think about it, loved ones. There is no way that Peter could ever give this instruction in his day and generation with Nero as the emperor and with a foul, evil oppression of the Roman government if this were not the case. Otherwise, he would have written what was a diatribe against the government and jurisdiction of his day.
Instead, he informed people living underneath a really rotten ruler, submit to the authorities, honor them, pray for them. Brace yourself, because I recognize this isn't easy. Even when we don't like what they do, and even when we are mistreated, let's remember our exceptions. Are those firmly in place now? How do we respond when we are being mistreated?
What he is giving instruction about here is about what happens when a believer is on the receiving end of unjust criticism and cruel treatment. That's what he's talking about. You're a believer, and you are a slave in a home. You may be a doctor, you may be a tutor, you may be a manager of a 450-acre estate, but your boss isn't treating you real well. Let me tell you what to do, says Peter. You may have a good boss, of course. He says some of them are good and considerate, verse 18. Some are harsh. The word is scolios, which actually means perverse, and seem to take a strange delight in changing their plans on us and asking us difficult questions and just making life a general disaster. So what do you do? Well, he says, irrespective of the category into which your boss or your master falls, whether you've got a good and considerate one or whether you have a perverse one, you have a golden opportunity to display submission to God.
That the way you will is the goal.
Display submission to God, says Peter, is by treating your master, your boss, or your manager with all respect.
That isn't always easy, but to motivate us to do so, we must remember God is doing bigger things. Governments, even stinkers, are ministers of God for His eternal purposes, and He calls us, yes, with two exceptions, to submit to the governing authorities, honor those in authority, and not chant, "Let's go, Brandon." This is Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio, and I'm Jimmy Hicks. Muslim extremists in eastern Uganda killed a Christian church pastor on October 26, saying that he would face wrath from Allah. Christian pastor Stephen Luguire, living in a predominantly Muslim area, went into his fields with his 23-year-old daughter at about 6:30 p.m. when he was killed. He was 58 years old. Luguire said as the men approached, one told her father, quote, "We have told you to remove your church, which is near our mosque, but you have not heeded our message, and today you will face the wrath from Allah." Pastor Luguire's congregation has worshipped at the building for 2 years. In other international news, the U.S. State Department has encouraged all Americans in Haiti to depart now as violence continues to rise in the Caribbean nation. The announcement comes as 17 missionaries, including 16 Americans, are still being held hostage by a local gang, which is demanding $17 million in ransom for their release. A statement from the U.S. Embassy in Haiti said, quote, "The Department of State urges U.S. citizens to make plans to depart Haiti now via commercial means. U.S. citizens should carefully consider the risks of traveling to or remaining in Haiti in light of the current security situation and infrastructure challenges." And as we tell you daily here at Wretched, please make sure that you are continuing to pray for all of our persecuted brothers and sisters abroad. Well, this may come as no surprise to some of you because of where our society has been quickly headed this year, but Durham University in the UK is now offering training to students on how to be prostitutes. And according to some news stories, we've hit the point of no return. A poll of 3,200 students last year claimed that 4% of British students, almost 1 in 20, were using sex work to fund their courses, while 1 in 10 say they would do it in a cash emergency. With a total student population of 2.38 million, that could mean more than 95,000 students across Britain are currently participating in sex work. And so now Durham University has a school of prostitution. And they insist that they're simply trying to teach their students to make informed choices because they notice the emerging trend of them selling sexual favors. And so instead of teaching students of the dangers of sex work, they went ahead and told them how to safely perform sex work. 'Tis the world in which we currently live. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Books of the Bible. The prophet Jeremiah preached judgment and repentance to Judah for more than 40 years. He was mocked, beaten, and imprisoned. But in the end, God's judgment came upon Judah. When you hold fast to the word of God, you will be heartbroken, mocked, and even persecuted. But let Jeremiah remind you that every word of God will prove true. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Whoa, talk about a surprise. This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy Cook, who's just walked into the Wretched Radio studio, a man who needs no introduction, so I'm not going to give one. Instead, Dr. John MacArthur, please just jump onto the microphone. Want to get your take on this whole Romans 13 business. Do you see in the text any exceptions to the Romans 13 submission rule?
Well, the only time that a believer would disobey the government would be when the government commands or demands the believer to do something God forbids,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
or when the government forbids believers to do what God commands.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, until the government intersects with the righteous law of God and asks us to do what God does not want us to do, we obey the government. We submit to the government. We might not like what they're doing. We certainly don't like what they're doing with our tax money. We don't like that the government is pro-abortion. We don't like that it's pro-gay marriage. We don't like a lot of things about the government. And we, if we have a choice, don't use our influence to aid and abet any of those things. But until the government specifically demands that we sin against God, we are called to be obedient to the government. With all its weaknesses, it still is a God-ordained institution to punish evildoers and reward those who do good. And you can't live in anarchy. There has to be police power, and that's government's primary role.
Thank you, Dr. MacArthur, but if you could hold for 1 second. Jimmy!
Yes?
I don't think we need music underneath Dr. MacArthur.
Oh, you didn't like that?
Yeah, let's just, dry voice would be fine. And, okay. And if I could, Dr. MacArthur, when you talk to me, would you please, because love your preaching so much, if you could just sound like you're preaching, that would be excellent.
Every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities. That is an unqualified statement.
Wait a second. He just said there's exceptions. Listen, Dr. MacArthur, you just said that there are exceptions.
It doesn't qualify who those governing authorities are. And it doesn't qualify what subjection might mean. Therefore, we can't conclude that we have an unqualified, unmitigated command to be subjected to the governing authorities, whatever they are.
But, as you rightly stated, sir, there are exceptions, but they're found outside of the text. And that drum is worth banging on again. Do we find in the text exceptions to the rule? Are there exceptions found in the text?
There is no governing power outside the purpose of God. No authority except from God. He has given authority to the authorities that exist. What about the cruel ones?
That's a great question, Dr. MacArthur. What about the wicked rulers?
And wicked rulers are, interestingly enough, part of God's plan to accomplish his purpose. Wicked rulers are part of God's plan to punish wicked nations and to allow evil to run its course toward destruction. But in the beginning, God ordained government to protect and preserve man. For the protection of life and property, for the repression of evil and crime, and for the rewarding of virtue and good. That's the God-ordained design. The powers that be are ordained of God.
And therefore, knowing that he ordains them for his purpose, we obey them with the two exceptions that you just offered, Dr. MacArthur. But there are some people, sir, who would say, there is a little wiggle room in Romans 13 because we're commanded to submit to the king and we don't live in a monarchy. Are there government exceptions that Paul had in mind in Romans 13?
No matter what the theory of government is, no matter what the form of government, there is no government apart from the purpose of God. And I might hasten to add, the Bible doesn't give us a theory of government.
In other words, it doesn't lay out, this is exactly what it's supposed to be looking like. Why do you bring that up, Dr. MacArthur? Well, I'll just put words in your mouth because I don't have the next clip. It's because we've got a government that is put in place by God for his purposes, to do whatever he wants them to do. And even when they do not look like what he prescribes in the Bible, they're still there because of him. In other words, there are no exceptions based on the form of government that we are living under. Dr. MacArthur, I do happen to have, though, a clip from Dr. Josh Beiss from the G3 conferences, who really said pretty much the same thing.
It does not matter whether or not we live under a monarchy or a republic or an oligarchy or a democracy, or whether we're governed by Marxist communism or a meritocracy. It doesn't matter if we're governed by military dictatorship. And it doesn't matter if our form of society is socialism or capitalism. If we have godly kings or ungodly kings. If we have godly presidents, and we've had a few, or ungodly presidents, and we've had a whole lot. It doesn't matter if we are being plagued by slave-owning pharaohs or Jew-slaughtering dictators. This text speaks to every last one of those situations.
This is awkward. Jimmy, wow. Dr. MacArthur left.
Oh, we
wish we could have spent more time with him, but you can find his sermons on the YouTube machine on Romans 13. His commentary set is also quite lengthy and clear. The trajectory of the Christian is submission, and this is an issue that I believe we should wrestle through amicably today. And if we come up with a different conclusion, we can still get along without thinking the other is a heretic. I sure hope we can do it that way. Now, here is my promise to you. If you're annoyed now with this resurrection of the Romans 13 topic because you thought that we've handled it too much already, here's my promise to you. I won't talk about Romans 13 again unless I discover you're living in a way that I don't think you should live in, and then I get to break that vow. Oh, did you see what I did right there? I just did the Romans 13 caveat deal right there. Not going to talk about this much anymore because I think that we've certainly made the point that there are a number of very high-profile theologians that would concur. Romans 13 is a very clear no-exception command to submit to the authorities, and then we find our exceptions elsewhere in the Bible to say, unless they command us to sin or forbid us from obeying a command, we submit to the government. That is who we are. That is what we do. And I won't be bringing it up again because I'm not trying to beat a horse. I mean, I am, but I'm not trying to. So in the future, the only time that this subject will come up is in passing. That if we happen to have a question or it gets mentioned, we'll respond to it, but our horse beating is over. Except to say this, that when you take a look at the other texts in Scripture, you also happen to notice that, for instance, in the book of Titus, chapter 3, no exceptions are actually given. There isn't a definition of government. And the audience that Paul was writing to when he had his letter written to Titus, they wouldn't have known about an exception clause. It just says, submit to the authorities, and it is the exact same context of 1 Peter. It is all about God's higher purposes, God's higher goals, so that he could save people. And our motivation is also found in Titus chapter 3, because you were once that way too. But you've been redeemed, and God desires that those people would come to the knowledge of the truth, and he uses us in that process. He uses us as testimonies. And if you and I become anarchists, we find all kinds of caveats and exceptions. We perhaps suggest we don't have to submit because it's a constitution, which, by the way, I would challenge you the next time you get pulled over, tell the officer, sorry, you don't submit to his authority. You submit to a piece of paper in Washington. We submit to God because it is a testimony to him that we are a submissive people. And it has implications for the gospel. So let's be motivated that even bad governments are ministers for our good, and God is ultimately using them for our response in order for people to see our behavior, ask about our Savior, and get saved. This is Wretched Radio. And yet one more reason to consider MediShare, affordable biblical health sharing, 400,000 Christian strong and growing, sharing one another's medical expenses so far to the tune of $4 billion. The average family saves $500 per month. That's a good reason to consider MediShare. There's a teledoc service. That's a good reason to consider MediShare. How's about their approval ratings are double that of traditional health insurance? But how's about this? During the month of November, initiation fee waived. One more reason for you to discover if MediShare is right for you and for your family. Simply visit MediShare.com/wretched and take 2 minutes to call 1-844-34-BIBLE to see how much your family can save. 1-844-34-BIBLE for MediShare.
You know, just a quick perusal of the Wretched store and wretched.org, and you'll notice resources like Road Trip to Truth, Life is Best, Untethered, Wretched Worldview, and all of our resources have one very distinct thing in common. And no, it's not Todd's ugly mug. Okay, maybe two things in common, but what I'm referring to, or who I'm referring to, is you. Seriously, because if you're a gospel partner, you are actually responsible for the resources we produce. We're just the mouthpiece, but our gospel partners are the engines that make Wretched run. Without you, there is no us. So if you're already a gospel partner, we humbly thank you. And if you're not an ongoing monthly gospel partner, would you please prayerfully consider becoming one and help us continue producing biblically sound, Christ-centered content to reach the lost and edify the saints. Visit wretched.org/donate to get all the details on becoming a Wretched Gospel Partner today. That's wretched.org/donate. It truly does take us all.
If you like to support ministries that focus on sharing the gospel, you will love Tomorrow Clubs in Eastern Europe. Weekly kids meeting clubs where the kids get loved on and they hear the gospel, like Armic from the Republic of Georgia.
2 years ago, I was invited to a camp organized by the Tomorrow Clubs. Tomorrow Clubs helped me see Jesus was my God and Savior. If it hadn't been for the Tomorrow Clubs, I would never have learned about Jesus.
$30 per month will be sufficient for a Tomorrow Club to operate, gather the kids, and preach the gospel to them in places like Georgia and Ukraine and Romania and Russia. Would you please consider supporting your own Tomorrow Club? $30 a month, 30 disciples. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the Son of Man. Daniel chapter 7 describes the Son of Man who came from heaven, received worship from all nations, and rules a kingdom that will never be destroyed. Jesus uses this title to affirm that he is fully human and fully divine.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Not one, not two, but three really nice stories. This is Wretched Radio. Story number one, you're going to have to use your mind's eye to imagine a scene. The video that you're not watching because, well, this is radio and you can't see it, you're going to hear singing from about 200 people who were gathered on the front lawn of somebody's house. Said person is standing on his patio, actually filming them. Got the picture? Who are these people? They're from the congregation of Pastor Mike Abendroth. You remember Mike Abendroth, who has in the past hosted this year's Wretched Radio program. He's been pastoring a church. That's right, pastoring. Shepherding a church for the last 30 years. I want to say it's Boylston. And incidentally, Jimmy, I was corrected on my Baston accent.
Oh, you were?
It's not Baston. It's more like Boston.
Oh, I thought that's what you did.
I did both. I'm the worst accent person on the planet.
You got mine down pretty good.
Mike, that's true. I can slide right into that bad boy pretty easily. Pastor Mike Abendroth, loving his people, preaching the word of God. Recently, he had a bad case of COVID. I mean, he almost died case of COVID in the hospital, returning home. Can't go back to church yet, doesn't have the strength. Hopefully, he'll be preaching soon. But because he couldn't go to church, his church came to him.
As thou livest the true life of all, we blossom and flourish as leaves on the tree, and wither and perish, but not changeth thee.
Gotta tell you, that is a beautiful sound. A congregation who loves its shepherd. Why? Because that shepherd has poured his life into those people, preaching expositionally now for decades. It will bear fruit. If you ever find yourself in a church where the people are really sweet, sacrificial, giving, encouraging, and even on occasion rebuking one another, it's because of what's going on in the pulpit. It's connected to the shepherd. It's a real symbiotic relationship. As the pastor lovingly pours himself into the people lovingly pour themselves back into him. And round it goes. And that is why I regularly find myself, when praying for shepherds of the local church, strengthen your shepherds by strengthening their congregation. And strengthen their congregation by strengthening the shepherd. Because it requires both of those things. And back and forth it goes. And this was just a beautiful display of the fruits of a faithful shepherd. Barry, that was a nice story, wasn't it? I wish you could see the image. By the way, here's a church that maybe takes preaching a little less seriously. Can you read this, Jimmy? Can you read the where my finger is pointing? Try to read that.
I can read that.
Go.
Pobody is nerfic. Join us anyway. Oh my goodness.
A knee way. Yeah. Pobody is nerfic. Join us a knee way.
Church sign.
Why are we shocked the world doesn't take the church seriously? I don't know. Maybe church signs. Second really nice story I hold in my never-before-nicotine-stained fingers. A few days ago, I don't even know what today is. A few days ago, opened up a big old box that was sent to us from the Tomorrow Clubs. And this is a story that this is a reminder, the United States does not have dibs on God's work in the world. He's working everywhere. And if you happen to be a Tomorrow Club supporter, $30 a month, you're going to be discipling 30 kids. I think I told you that they opened up in Africa. 300 kids showed up to a Tomorrow Club to hear the gospel. 300 kids. And it looks like that network is going to expand like it has in Eastern Europe. So this is the little story that was sent. It's on a card. Life hasn't been easy for 15-year-old Lika, L-I-K-A. Her alcoholic father is well known around the remote Georgian town, not where Jimmy Carter comes from, the nation of Georgia, where she lives for his drunken behavior. He's known for his drunken behavior. Forced to provide for the family, her mother has little time to nurture her children. To help make ends meet, Lika and her two siblings work in the nearby fields, where last year they cultivated and harvested more than 2 tons of garlic by hand. 2 years ago, when Lika first came to the Tomorrow Club, she was a real hooligan. I have a funny feeling Max wrote this because his English, it truly is excellent, but you can just some word choices, you go, well, that's not how we usually would talk. They tend to be a little bit more forthright in Eastern Europe. If a child's a hooligan, they're a hooligan. Here you'd go, don't crush the child. Oh, the self-esteem. Not so much in Georgia. 2 years ago, when she first came to the Tomorrow Club, she was a real hooligan. Loud, proud, mean, and rowdy. Beneath the hard exterior, she harbored hurts and anger from her father's drinking. The unconditional love she experienced at the Tomorrow Club kept her coming. And the more she learned about God and his love for her, the more she was able to forgive her father for the hurts and shames his alcoholism had brought to her life. As her anger melted away, she became a completely different person, transformed by the gospel. Now, that would be a good story right there. That's enough right there. But it continues. Lycustown was formerly a prison complex built by Joseph Stalin. And the Tomorrow Clubs meet in a building that once housed prisoners. Here, the former hooligan, now free in Christ, leads worship songs and helps the younger children with their Bible verses. I love these kids, she says. It gives me great joy to serve them and to serve God. Nice to know that God is still saving people all over the globe and that his kingdom, it is indeed being expanded, and even Joseph Stalin can't prevail over it. They have to do a shout out at this point. If you're not a sponsor of a Tomorrow Club, would encourage you to consider becoming one. You can do that at tomorrowclubs.org/wretched. tomorrowclubs.org/wretched. That was a nice story.
That was a very good story.
Which one do you think was better? The congregation? Don't pick. You lose.
I don't think I can.
Don't pick. No matter what.
Yes.
You look like a bad guy. Exactly. The right. You've been married for a while, haven't you?
Yes, I
am. I recognize that tactic right there. Good news story number three. Would like to have. Maybe this isn't such good news for you. Would like to have lunch with you. No, you don't have to worry. I tend to chew with my mouth closed. Rarely does food fall out. I do have to confess, though, I do have some sort of a glandular issue where sometimes, do you ever go to put some food in your mouth and you're kind of bending into it? So, it's, you know, it's probably like Mexican food because you always have to tilt your head sideways in order to get it in there. And drool comes out. Do you ever do that? Please tell me you do. Please.
Yes, I do.
Okay. Are you lying?
Maybe not. I just don't. Yes. Hey, question. If you're going to have lunch with everybody, is it going to be at Zaxby's?
Not this time. It's not. I'm telling you, one of these days, though, one of these days, I would just love, like a nobody's business, to do a wretched conference. And let me tell you, if we do
at Zaxby's,
it's going to be catered by Zaxby's. That's all I can tell you. You're going to be eating French fries with seasoned salt. Although I have to confess to you, Jimmy, we were over filming Transformed, and we had some Chick-fil-A chicken sandwiches, the deep fried thing, which don't normally eat, but I got to tell you.
You did that?
That was good eating.
I do prefer Chick-fil-A myself. Yeah, I just lost my job.
Okay. We've got about 90 seconds to go. We'll just have a little meeting when this is done. We can't have fellowship if you like Chick-fil-A more than Zaxby's and I like Zaxby's more than Chick-fil-A. Hey, Christians have separated over less than that. Why not? If you'd like to have lunch with or without Chick-fil-A, Zaxby's, or frankly, any fast food, and you're going to be near North Carolina December 16 and 17, would like to have lunch with you, I'll wear a bib. So if I do drool, don't worry, it won't be that embarrassing for all of us. Dr. Steve Lawson will also be there. To the best of my knowledge, he does not drool. Why? Because, well, it would hit that Brooks Brothers tie, and that would simply not be acceptable, ruining the man's uniform. There's going to be other preachers there. It's going to be 2 days of worship, fellowship, lots of good preaching, and me. And we'll have a meal together, which means we can just sit down and chat about how you've come to a correct understanding of Romans 13 listening to this program. I am so sorry. I promise that I wasn't gonna. You can get your tickets at thefoundationsconference.com. Half off if you use the password wretched. That includes the meals. Such a deal. 50% off. Password wretched. thefoundationsconference.com. And until tomorrow, go serve your king. And Jimmy, go to the office.